Number two, I'd like to pull a text verse out of here today and preach a little while. The Bible said, in the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And I sure am glad that Jesus is still about Bible marriage. A lot of people won't throw rocks at the preacher when he gets to preaching on folks shacking up and living together, but marriage is still right. Somebody say amen down in Bowden, Georgia this morning. Marriage is still right, even on a mama's day in Bowden, Georgia this morning. Don't throw rocks at the preacher. I didn't write the Bible. The Bible said in verse number 2, both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted the wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Boy, it wasn't long they was done having trouble in the marriage. Don't take long nowadays. Didn't take long then. Won't take long now. That's why we need Jesus hanging around every day of our life. Somebody help me preach this morning. The Bible said in verse 8, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There were set 6 water pots of stone after the customs of the religion of the Jews. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Thank y'all for standing this morning, honoring the reading of the Word of God. I'm interested in simply verse number 1 and 2. The Bible said the third day there's a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. I want to preach on this simple topic just a little while today, on Mama Knows Best. Mama knows best. Now, I done live long enough to know if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Somebody say amen right there. You little henpeck looking something, you can say that all this boldness and all this you got, but we all know if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody really happy. And so there's some points here with the mother of Jesus I think we ought to highlight today before we go to the house. Now, I want to say, first of all, you'll notice Mary and her counsel. She teaches something in this passage. And I want to say that you'll notice, first of all, in verse 1, that Jesus' mother was around. The third day there was a marriage in Cana, and the mother of Jesus was there. Say something real quick, and I'll move on. Mama, are you there? It means a lot that you're there. I'm glad I had a mother that was there. And I thank God for mothers this morning that are here, but I want to ask you something. Are you there? It's very important for your children that you're there. A career is not more important than your children. A career is not more important than your children. Money making ain't more important than your children. And I know the culture and day we live in. I'm nobody's dummy. I know it takes a lot to make it. But we bring a lot of that on ourselves. And I can tell you this today, that this counsel she had, she was around. Number two, since she was around, she was available. Thank God for some mothers that are available. Mother, are you available to your children? And then secondly, are you available to others to be a blessing to? The Bible said the mother of Jesus was there. She was around. But also, the Bible said, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. She made herself available, and she made herself approachable. I thank the Lord for people that is not only available, but they are approachable. I love people that's just common people. And they're approachable and you can come to them with needs in your life. Boy, mom and daddy, if there's ever been a time in America and in our community that our parents need to be approachable, it is today. You ought to have the type of relationship with your children that they could talk with you and not the school counselor. And that may have to do with the way that your children perceive you. They ought not be your buddy. They ought to be your children. Amen. but y'all not beat them down with everything they come to you with. You need to give kids a chance in this day and hour that they live. Boy, I'm glad she was available. Aren't you glad you've had some people in your life that was available? And so we see here Mary and her counsel. Now, she was around. Thank God for mothers that's been around. She was available. She was approachable. But in verse 3, I want to say she was applaudable. The Bible said that all of a sudden she turns away from herself to Him. And I think that's in many churches this morning. I'm all about special days. And I'm nobody's dummy. Thank God for Mother's Day and Father's Day. But let me remind you something while we're here this morning. It ain't about mama. And Father's Day, we won't be here because of daddy. Some of you will be. Some of you, that's on time you'll come to church. That and Easter. And Christmas. Because you think somebody's going to give you something. Say amen. But I can tell you this, it is about the Lord Jesus. I love what she done. She turned the attention from herself to her Son. Because this is what she said. Whatsoever He saith unto you in verse 5, do it. Boy, you're talking about a godly mother now. When she'd take back seat to Jesus. God ain't nobody's co-pilot this morning. Boy, I'm glad He is the God of this Bible. I'm glad He's the God of this church. And let me tell you this morning, we ought to give praises to those that deserve our praises. Thank God for some mamas that's been available. Thank God for some mamas that's been around. But we better remember one thing. If it wasn't for Jesus, mama wouldn't be near the mama that she is this morning. And it's all about Jesus. It's going to start with Jesus, and it's going to end with Jesus. And thank God for some people in our lives that can go to the back seat and put Jesus to the forefront. This is what she said. This is why she's so applaudable. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Mama, wouldn't it be a blessing to raise your youngins the way the Bible says raise them? Amen. Daddies, wouldn't it be a good day to raise you babies the way the Bible says raise them? Boy, I appreciate her counsel. Now, Mama knows best. I can tell you this, my mother knew a lot of things nobody else knew. And your mother knows a lot of things that nobody else knew. Matter of fact, she knew they was out of wine. You won't fool Mama. Mama knows a lot of things that you don't know, young children. Amen. You say, well, Mama's old-fashioned. You ought to thank God for an old-fashioned Mama. You say, well, Mama's not in this hip crowd. She ain't hanging out down there for everybody else's mama. Well, you might ought to be glad of that this morning. You might ought to throw your little Baptist hand up and say, thank you, Lord, I got a godly mama this morning. Boy, I appreciate my mama. All she's done for me in my life. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest mother that's living is one that will take her children to Christ. And so she said, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And then that takes me to the next point. Now, Mama knows best, not only her counsel, but notice in verse 12, her Christ. After this first miracle that happened in the Bible, it said after this He went down to Capernaum, He and His mother and His brethren and His disciples, and they continued there not many days. Now, after this, He went down, He and His mother and His brethren and the disciples, and continued there not many days. Not only her counsel, but her Christ. We find in verse 12, she is following. He went down to Capernaum, so she went down to Capernaum. I don't know anybody else that I'd rather follow than the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, He loves His children. And thank God that Mary knew her place and she was willing to follow Christ. Mama and Daddy, let me ask you something as your country preacher today. Are you willing to follow Christ wherever He goes? She followed Christ. The Bible said that certainly. Now watch this. He had just done a miracle, but she left the miracle and followed the Master. I wish we had some people who wouldn't caught up in His benefits and go to focusing on the benefactor. Let me tell you, God's not blessed you to be caught up in the benefits. You better not forget about the benefactor. Because, honey, without God, there would be no blessing this morning. Without the hand of God on this place, it'd be another dry building this morning. They left the miracle and went after the Master. Now, He just turned water into wine. You say, well, I want to ask you something, preacher. Is it okay to drink wine? Well, it is if you can make it the way Jesus made it, out of water. Somebody say something. You little social drinking crowd. Somebody help the old man of God preach on a Sunday morning this morning. Little contemporary looking bunch. Yeah, man. What happened to rareback leather lug preaching? What thus saith the Lord's what the Bible said. You say, well, preacher, can I drink some wine? Well, if you can make it out of water, drink all you want. I know that wouldn't go too good. That's why I'm hurrying. A lot of you just waiting on wintertime to come so you can get in a NyQuil bottle. Amen. 25% alcohol. You wonder why you sleep so good. Because it's like Jack Daniels. Amen. You say, I don't like that. Well, you're in the church. You ain't at the golf course. You ought to hear something different at church. Well, I ain't preaching my gallbladder out this morning. Mama's done one, I know that. But I can tell you this, I ain't backing off preaching. I don't care if we run one a week. If we run 3,000, I ain't backing off the Word of God. If Jesus started this thing, it's going to be about Jesus with this preacher. It'll always be about Jesus with this preacher. It won't be about the things of the world. It'll always be what thus saith the Word of God. They left the miracles and went after the Master. Hallelujah. How great it'd be if God's people would get so energetic and excited about the Master instead of the miracles this morning. I love the blessings of God, but ain't nobody never touched me like the Master. You hear me? You looking at a blessed man this morning. But I'm not all about my blessing. I know where my blessing comes from. And the problem with some of you, way some of you done got to living, way some of you done got to slipping and sliding, you gloating in your blessing, but God's going to give you a wake-up call when He jerks out them blessings and realize you can't pray to the blessing. You need the blesser in your life. I got families this morning so blessed. You can't even hurt them up in church because God went to blessing. Don't forget about the blesser. There's nothing wrong with having things. Matter of fact, if you serve God and you love Jesus, He's going to let you have some things. But what's wrong is when things start having you. If what we need to get down to is old-fashioned preaching, they left the miracle and went after the Master. My, I thank God for a mother that's... I wish y'all would help me preach. This sermon's way too good to preach by myself this morning. He had a mother that's more interested in the Master than the miracle. Why do you serve God? Is it because you love Him or just what He gives you? Well, let me ask you this. When it all runs out, you going to keep on serving Him? Or is He going to have to keep giving you something to make you serve Him? I love what David said down the little slingshot. The giant walked out. He asked the boys, he says, is there not a cause? They said, well, ain't you heard? He said, if you'll go fight Goliath, the king's going to give you his daughter and a wedge of gold and a garment. David said, I don't need none of that to serve God. Is there not a cause? Liberty Baptist Church, is there not a cause to serve God? Is there not a cause to leave the miracle and go after the Master? Is there not a cause? What about the little 70 or 100 children usually on a Sunday dropping money in a bucket here? Is there not a cause? Hey, what about some of you grandbabies need an old-fashioned church to hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The average Baptist church you walk in, oh, there is a drama team going in. What happened to preaching? Is there not a cause? I got some babies need to be saved. And don't worry if your baby cries or talks. I can preach over a crying baby or a crying mama either. Amen. God put me in a built-in PA system. And I'm going to use it for His honor and His glory. Is anybody glad they saved on a Sunday morning? Y'all going to make me mean before I leave here today. You know, her counsel, but her Christ, we find her following. Not only her following, but look in her fellowship in verse number 12. You are who you run with. The Bible said after this, He went down to Capernaum, He and His mother and His brethren and His disciples. I want to ask y'all something right there. Do you think I'd have near the scars on me and in me this morning if I would have run with Jesus, the brethren, and the disciples? When I got in trouble, when I left the brethren, the disciples, and Jesus, and went to running with the wrong... When I was Jesus, He never did take me to a beer joint. When I was with Jesus, He never did take me on a dirt road to bag a weed. When I was living for Jesus, I never did wake up wondering how I got there. Jesus has been good to me, and thank God for the company we can keep. You are who you go company with this morning. You lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. Matter of fact, some of you need a haircut or a flea collar one. Somebody say amen right there. It's getting about summertime. Some of you women start coming in undecent. I ain't wearing enough material to make Blue Jays a pair of breeches. Somebody say amen right there. I don't know where all that come from, but the sun's shining. I thought I'd go and hit that. Now, the Christ, we see her following, and then we see her fellowship, and then in verse 12 we see her faithfulness. I love this. Watch your Bible. The Bible said, He and His mother and His brethren and His disciples, and they continued there not many days. Thank God for people that will continue there with Jesus. Young people, Brother Adam said it right this morning. I'm in total agreement. I've known young family after young family. I've known older family after older family. They're out of church this morning. Their lives are shipwrecked. Their children are in bad situations because this one Bible text right here, they did not continue there. Let me tell you something. I realize we don't have to shout and run around the building every Sunday morning, but we need to be faithful when the house of God is open. Amen. When the house of God's open, we need to be faithful to it. We need to be around the crowd that Jesus is with, the brethren and the disciples, and it'll help us. Maybe some of you wonder why you've got all this trouble coming your way. Why don't you wake up and realize Jesus can't bless you unless you're around the right kind of crowd? You can't be blessed running with the world. That first miracle when Jesus turned that water to wine, handed the governor, He said, this is so unusual. I've never been around a crowd like this. He said, y'all save the last for best or the best for last. You see, the devil will give you the best he's got first. And at the end, it's sorrow. But Jesus always saves His best for last. I'm going to tell you something. I've been a Christian going on nearly, I guess, 35, 36, 37 years now. And I'm going to tell you, I love living for Jesus. Who told you that it wasn't excited living for Jesus? Who told you it wasn't a blessing for living for Jesus? I can tell you where I started out. I started out in a single-wide mobile home. I started out in a place where you could throw the cat through the crack in the sidewall, friend. I started out in a place that didn't even have but just a little old bitty air conditioner that couldn't keep up with me and Miss Renea talking. One of us just had to talk at one time that time. Too much hot air in the house. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus has blessed me and my wife. How He's blessed you. And we better not forget about where our blessing comes from. I hear people saying all the time, boy, I need a change, preacher. Well, won't you do something about it? You get all the preaching, but let me tell you, it's just like going to the doctor. He gives you the medicine. You don't get well unless you take it. A lot of y'all say, man, you ought to come down and bow. You ever heard our preacher? Boy, he tells it how he is. He's a leather lung hacker, spitting, runs around half crazy. But what you ought to say on top of that, but I don't never listen to his preaching. Help me, Jesus. Her counsel, her Christ. We found her following, we found her fellowshipping, and we found her being very faithful. The Bible said, and they continued there. And then watch this, thirdly, oh, Mother knows best. Not only her counsel and her Christ, but you ever seen her in John 19:25 at her cross? John 19:25. Now, I want to give you the setting and then I'll be done pretty soon. Her cross, John 19:25. Watch your Bible. Now there stood, and underline this, by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Now I want to remind you something right quick, and on this mother knows best, not only her counsel, not only her Christ, but now look at her cross. The Bible said that there she stood by the cross of Jesus. Now, I want you to notice there was the shame of the cross. She found pain. Now, just because you're a Christian don't mean that you will be immune to pain. There's a lot of crosses laid on God's children. Many of families here in this church, you know some things that keep me going beside your children. And it's not even the few amens I get. Thank God for amens, but that ain't what keeps... When everybody hushes, I'm going to keep a preaching. But I'm going to tell you what keeps me going is the crosses that some of these families have to bear. Crosses are no accidents. And here we find that Mary stood by the cross. Thank God for some mothers that have stood by the cross. Church mothers, thank you. I've bragged on many of you out preaching in places. Thank God that I've got some church mothers that are still standing by the cross. Thank God for some mothers that are still standing by the cross. And I want to see, when you see this mother and her cross, her son is being crucified. He's put up between two thieves. Now I want to ask you something. Where's all of his apostles? Where's all of his disciples? There are four Marys here at the cross and one apostle. Where did the rest of them go? I want to ask y'all something. When hard times hit America, and you better listen to me. I'm only 53 years old, and you can keep your opinion to yourself. I know I look a lot older than that. It's because I pastored some of you so long. But you watch. Let's see when the hard times come, who's going to stand by the cross. It's coming a time from Washington. We're not going to be able to say publicly what we say this morning. And I'm going to ask y'all something. When hard times come to your family, are you going to stay by the cross or are you going to leave the cross? Her son is on a cross. He's between two thieves. Thank God for mothers at hard time that stood by the cross. You know why? Because she got some help by that cross. You know why she got some help by that cross? Jesus looked out there. You know what he said? He said, Woman. He said, Behold thy son. Then he turns to the disciple that he loved, which is John the apostle. And he said, Behold thy mother. He wanted to be sure that when he got to heaven, there wasn't no ranks there. He's going to be the son of God. And he was leaving out. And because she stood by the cross, she got some help by the cross. You know what he done? You know what he told John? Look what he told John in this next verse right here. This is an amazing thing that I seen last night. The Bible said, verse 27, then saith he the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Here's my thought. Could he have trusted you to take care of his mama? Here's the mother of Jesus. There's Andrew, James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew. There's Luke, Simon, Peter. None of them's around, but there's John the Beloved, the one that was always laying on the bosom of Jesus. He turned around and he said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to take care of Mama. I want to ask y'all something. I wonder how inconveniently that affected John. Some of you say, well, I'm going to take care of Mama as long as she can take care of herself. I understand we may have to use people, but you don't have to write them off the face of the earth. When I leave here, God willing, I'm going to call my mama. And she tickles me. She has a saying that says, hun. She uses the word hun. And she'll get on my cell phone, that's what she'll say. She'll say, hey, Ken, honey, this is your mama. Leaving me a voicemail like I didn't know that was my mama leaving me a voicemail. He wanted to know his mother was seen about. Isn't that amazing? There's something right here that I want you to notice. I don't know if you've ever noticed this in this verse or not. But I'm talking about her by her cross. But now look at her and her care. Because the Bible said, and from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. And now look in verse number 30. You ever notice this? And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. There's the care that his mother experienced. You know, he said, I'm going to be sure that my mother's seen about before I leave out. And he entrusted her with John the Apostle. I wonder, when Jesus died, they went to his house. Wonder how long she stayed there with John. Wonder how many sacrifices he had to make to see about her. Well, I can tell you this, it's all written down. And Jesus had a heart for his mother, and we ought to have a heart for ours. It kills me when people don't think no more of their mother, won't even call them, won't even see about them. I understand. Things happen. I'm not crazy. I'm a grown man. I realize things happen. But let me tell you something. I think a lot of times we could be a lot kinder to our mom and daddy in what we do. Somebody say amen right there. Mary and her cross. Mary and her care. Verse 25, the pain she felt. She stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. The place that she found. You know what? She couldn't be no more safe than by that cross. Some of you, you've got way away from that cross. Miss Sherry, would you come this morning if you would, please? That care of that cross, when she came there, she might have found some sadness in her life, but I'm going to tell you what. She was never in a better place by that cross than she'd ever been in her whole life. You know why I say that? Because when she was close to that cross, she was close to Jesus. But when we get close to the cross, you know what? We get close to Jesus. And you know something else? When she got close to that cross, she found out. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that he was in all points tempted like as we were, and he felt us. He felt the feelings of our infirmities, but yet he had never known sin. When she got by that cross, she found that it was somebody that would help her at that cross. Boy, aren't you glad there's somebody at the cross can help us this morning? She found out about her pain. She found out about a place, but she found out about a plan.
I don't know if you noticed it or not, but at that miracle, when he turned the water into wine, he said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." But you know what? Every hour of his life, that clock was ticking to get him to this place at Calvary. There he died for you. And he died for me. And I'm amazed at our Lord. There were some sayings that went from this cross, but one of those sayings was, "John, take care of my mother." Because, John, now my mother's become your mother. Church, listen to the preacher. That's how we ought to treat all of our church mothers, just like our mothers. That's the way we ought to treat all of our brothers and all of our sisters, like our brothers and like our sisters. If there's one member in the church hurts, we all ought to hurt. If there's one that's being blessed, we all ought to be blessed. We ought to... Well, Brother Randy spoke volumes to me last Sunday. I even preached about it this week where I was at. You know when he said this? We need to quit trying to position ourselves where other people lose. Because there's plenty to go around from heaven. Do you need help for your life this morning? Well, let me tell you what, there's a cross that's still available to you today. I'm glad Jesus is not hanging on it. Because He got out of the grave the third day He arose. And He's on the right hand side of the Father. In that amount, I just asked you, could He have trusted you to take care of His mother? Could you imagine the honor? Let me ask y'all something right here, church. I just seen something. When He turned around and He told John, He said, "Behold thy mother now. She's not mine now, she's yours." Shouldn't that speak to us in a church body? To take care of those that are in need. To love those that need love and help those that need help. God help us to have that kind of attitude, that kind of mindset in the body of Christ. Let me tell you, families, it's coming a time you're going to need the Lord. And I can tell you this too, you're going to need a preacher. You're going to need some friends. And I can tell you, the best place I know where to find them is by the cross. Thank God for the people I've found by the cross. How they've loved me. How they've cared for me. The other week, we was up Mount Airy, North Carolina, nearly to Virginia. I might have said something about it, but I heard something this week, and I want to remind you of this. I walked in the house, a man and woman, they've been married 71 years. He is 90, never been saved. 71 years they've been married. That's a great landmark. The pastor up there called me yesterday. You know what he said? He said, "Brother Ken, I want to let you know Herman, he's the 90-year-old, said his boy died yesterday." I said, "Boy, I sure do hope that it'll wake old Herman up. And let them realize there's an eternity out there." Brother Allen Kirk, many of you know Brother Allen. He's Pastor Antioch in Hogansville. He called me on the way home Thursday night in the meeting. He said, "Preacher, what you doing?" I said, "I'm driving back." He said, "Would you help me pray about something?" I said, "Yeah, Brother Allen, what is it?" He said, "I walked in a Waffle House at Hogansville last night. A man fell out of the booth and died, and there was a waitress went hysterical. She started weeping. Said, I came back, gave her a tract, told her about the gospel. She said, I've never been around nobody that's ever died." He said, "Well, let me tell you something. Death is real. And this Bible says that we must be born again if we're going to heaven. Not that we do good works, not that we try to do better, that we just trust Jesus with our everything." I'm glad Brother Larry stood up, Sunday night and said, I got it settled in the preacher's barn. I can tell you this, some of the finest people he's ever met is by the cross. You may say, well, that old-fashioned church, it's okay on Sunday, but I want to do my own life through Monday, but that ain't the way it works. Jesus to serve Monday through Sunday, and he loves his children. Don't need any.